Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I'm going to talk to you today on how do I stir up my gift of faith. How do I stir up my faith? You may be seated. You know, the Bible is just replete with instruction. Stir up your faith. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Rend your heart and not your garment. These instructions are so emphatic and so exciting and challenging. It tells us what to do. But how do I draw near to God? How do I rend my garment? And the question I'd like to answer today is, how do I stir up my faith? You can take these verses in context and just look at that one verse and say, wow, that's a great commandment. But if you're going to find out the how-to, you're going to have to research the entire context and see where that verse is set and what it really means. Paul instructs this young preacher, Timothy, his son in the gospel, the necessity to stir up the gift of faith. That's amazing, for suddenly it's not in God's court, but it's in Timothy's court. I've said a long time that living for God is a game of checkers. God moves, and then you move. And the reason why so many people live in a stalemate is that they never make the move after God makes his move. If you will move, God will make the next move. But God will not move your moves. He insists that you do what he has called you to do. And so Paul has written in times past that God has given every man a measure of faith. And so he's in no way receding that promise to Timothy that God has given you the gift of faith. He gave it to your mother and to your grandmother. I laid hands on you. I remember as even a younger man that you received faith. But now my mandate to you is that you stir up the gift of faith. That's your responsibility to stir it up. The irony of the text is it's the elder. Paul was at the end of his ministry, almost at the end of his life, and he is challenging a young man. You would think it would be the zeal of the young man that would be challenged the old man to make a few more steps, to endure a few more days, to have one more victory in one more battle. But it's not that way at all. It's ironic. It is the old man in his decaying days that is challenging the young man to equal him. It is the elder challenging the younger to stir up his faith. Timothy should have been the aggressive one, but he was not. First, we need to revere the value of the gift. Faith is God's greatest gift. Why do I say that? Because it contains all other gifts. Everything is found within faith. That's the reason why I said, above all, take faith. When you get faith, you can receive the gift of healing. When you get faith, you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you get faith, you can receive the gift of blessing and prosperity. And so faith above all, is the greatest gift. No wonder we are enjoined by the Apostle Paul to make that a priority in our life. Even the Bible tells us that every man is given a measure of faith. The text definitely explains that the development and exercise of our faith is our responsibility. Jesus talked about no faith. He talked about little faith. He talked about great faith. What is faith? Faith is a standalone entity. The Bible said the evidence not seen. You don't get faith because you see great things. You don't see faith because things are working out the way you wanted them to. You have faith simply because you put your trust in God. It can be described as the soldier birthed by the mother of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the Bible declares. To be more definitive, You can't please God without it. Faith. It is impossible to please him without faith. Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You simply cannot please God without faith. And beyond that, you can't come to God without faith. You must believe that God is. It's believing that God is. Not only that God was, not only that God will be, but God is right now. In your greatest trouble, in your greatest challenge, in your darkest day, in your most inopportune moment, you've got to believe that God is. Not only is God, but he's the same God. He's the God that was in your best day. He was the God that was in your brightest moment. He's the same God that was there when all things were working the way you wanted them to. Faith is always now. Some people have great faith for yesterday, which is futile. And some have great faith for tomorrow, which again is not very productive. Faith is always now. The Bible said, now faith is. Now faith is. As close as Jesus was to Mary and Martha, he would correct Martha when Lazarus died, when he arrived on the scene, what she perceived to be 4 days late. And she reprimanded him and said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said, he will live again. And she said, yes, I know he will live again in the resurrection. She had faith for 4 days ago, and she had faith for eternity, but she didn't have any faith for today. Your faith for yesterday will not help you now. Your faith for eternity will not help you now. You have to believe that God is, and that God is right now. And so Jesus corrected her and said, I'm sorry, you don't understand. Lazarus will live right now. And so God is speaking to us and saying that our faith needs to stand up on a cold, wintry Sunday morning in San Antonio and be as strong as it is on a sunny day when there is no pandemic. We need God today. We're facing a Goliath today. And God is saying for us to manifest our faith now. Hebrews says faith believes first that God is ever present. Faith does not question who will go get God, but declares that God is here right now. Faith does not declare that God is somewhere else. Faith declares that God is present. Faith does not declare that God was yesterday or will be tomorrow. Faith declares that God is right now. The righteousness which is of faith says not in thy heart, who will ascend to heaven to bring Christ down, or who will descend to bring him up? But the Bible said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. What you are saying is an indicator of your faith or faithlessness. You have to speak the word of faith, no matter what the circumstance or situation it is. And if you speak the faith in dire straits, if you speak the positive words in troubled times, you are going to be viewed by the faithless as an idiot. She's not facing reality. She's in denial. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not in denial. I am in declaration and confession that God was, is, and will be, that he doesn't change according to seasons or circumstance. What he has done, he will do today. My God is an ever-present help. And so faith declares that you must believe, number one, that God is. Secondly, faith believes that God is a rewarder. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. On this Sunday, I believe that God is, and on this Sunday, I believe that God is going to reward me. Something good will happen to me before the sun sets, because my God is a rewarder, and every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and does what? It comes down from the Father of lights. We have to believe in the prosperity of his servants. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. When it looks to you like times are adverse and you're facing some kind of neglect or lack, That's the time where you magnify the Lord and say, I am a servant of the Lord, and the Lord will take pleasure in prospering me. The famine created Elijah. Elijah did not create the famine. Without the famine, you would not even know who Elijah was. It was the famine that created Elijah. And friend, as sad and painful as the pandemic is, it will create some faith superstars. It will create some Elijahs of the 21st century. Because our faith is in God and not in the circumstance or the situation. God, Elijah had faith in God. His faith was not in the brook. His faith was not in the raven. And his faith was not in the widow. His faith was in God. The Bible does not say that man shall give into your bosom. It says men shall give into your bosom. When one man forsakes you and turns his back on you, God's got another one to shove in the slot, to put in the place. If you're a true servant of God, you are not dependent upon one man. I know a church here in San Antonio was pastored by a friend of mine in the 80s, and they built a beautiful, beautiful building. The payment back in those days was a lot of money. But there was an oil man in that church that made that payment every month. But because of what happened in the oil industry, he lost his income and he could not make the church payment. And the rest of the people either could or would not make it. And they lost that building because their hope and their faith was in one man. Ladies and gentlemen, it has not been one man or one woman or one circumstance that has blessed my life. It has been the God that cannot fail. It's been 1,000 different conduits. So my faith is not in the brook, and my faith is not in the raven, and my faith is not in the widow, but my faith says that God will get it to me. So go back to the question of my text. How do I stir up my faith? First, Paul said, remember, Timothy, remember, it's time for you, if you want to stir up your faith on this pandemic Sunday, I'll tell you how to do it. Remember where you used to be. Remember where God brought you from. David, going through hell, said, I remember this. God found me in the miry clay. He extracted me from the miry clay, and he put my feet on the rock to stay. Ladies and gentlemen, these do not appear to be ideal times that I've pastored in the last near half century, but I'll tell you this. I remember where the Lord found me. I remember what God has done. And if I can remember what God has done, I'm assured of what God will do. So I'm stirring up my faith. Look how far the Lord has brought you, and realize that he's not going to abandon you now. But praise God, he is taking you onward to a better place, a higher place, a more productive place. So it's time to magnify the Lord and say, the Lord will find a way. If the brook dries up, he's got a bird. If the bird ceases to come, he's got a widow. God's always got some way of blessing you. And so your job is to magnify the Lord and say, my faith is not weak. My faith is stronger than it has ever been. Give me this mountain. My God is able. Number two, dispel your fear if you want to stir up your faith. Dispel your fear with a three-pronged attack. It has been said that the Bible says, fear not, 365 times. I looked that up, and I simply couldn't find it. I think that's a wonderful cliche, but I'm not sure you can prove that. But in my research, looking for 365 fear nots, you know what I found? I found that 70 times God said, be not afraid. I found that that is the most enduring, prolific promise that God has given to his people. 70 times God said, don't be afraid. Be not afraid is the most repeated commandment in the Bible. That doesn't even include the phrase fear nor similar injunctions. 70 times he said, be not afraid. That's powerful. Ladies and gentlemen, I refuse to succumb to the fear of my comrades. I'm going to be an Elijah. I'm going to let the famine make me a champion for Almighty God. We know Elijah because of what he did in the famine, not because of what he did in the good times. And Paul follows that text to stir up your gift with this verse. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift which is in thee by the putting of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Attack fear with the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, almost without exception, the meager number of people in this building today are filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, after you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall have power. So it would stretch us to find one powerless person in this building. And so we need to take the power of the Holy Ghost and attack fear and say, I refuse to be fearful. I believe out of this is going to come the greatest victory of my life. The Bible said, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, friend, we need to attack fear with the power of God, the love of God, and the mind of Christ, bringing every thought into the captivity and obedience of Christ. Number three, communicate your faith. I've always loved this verse. It's Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, can you go back in your life and see what the Lord has done? Can you see where you would be if it were not for the Lord? Can you count your blessings, as the old song said, and number them one by one? Can you acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus? It's time that we bragged on Jesus Christ and said what he has done for us, how he wonderfully saved us, how he kept us, how he soothed our troubled spirit, how he provided for us when we were down and out. Oh, what a God we serve. Acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. We no longer provide a public testimony service, so it's up to you to find your own place to testify. Testify to one another. Testify to your family. Testify to your friends. Testify to your coworkers. Testify to your enemy. Testify to yourself. Encourage yourself and say, oh, look what the Lord has done. Oh, I acknowledge every good thing in Christ Jesus. He saved me. He washed my sins away. He empowered me. He healed me. He provided for me. Oh, what a mighty God he is. He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. He is my beginning. He is my end. I do live in him. I do have my being in him. What a mighty God is Jesus Christ, and he's my God. He is my Savior, and I acknowledge every great thing and good thing that he's done in my life. What he's saying simply is, let's talk about Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. Friend, if you turn on the news, there is no way that your faith cannot be injured. The news will injure your faith. Turn the news off and turn on the good news of the Bible. Don't listen to the report of the world, but receive the report of the Lord. God is on your side. The last days are going to be the best days of the church. The last days are going to be the days of harvest. The last days are going to be the days of manifestation, and we need to celebrate and magnify. The Bible said in Acts 14:27, and they came together, and they gathered the church together, and they rehearsed all that God had done. Let's open the door to faith by rehearsing what God has done. For what God has done is preparatory to what he is about to do. Manifested faith is dependent on activated works. There are so many people that like to hide behind pseudo-grace and say, because of the grace of God, I do nothing. But I join with Jesus' half-brother James and say, show me your faith by your works. If you've got real faith, you will not be hiding and cowering in the cave. You will ask God to make you the champion against the famine. You will ask God to make you the hero against Goliath. You will say, this is what I was created for. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We won't cower in the closet. We'll go to God's house. We'll lift up God. We'll declare that God is good all the time. That he is the God of victory, the God of conquest, the God of persistence, the God of prevailing. And he's in this house today. And ladies and gentlemen, I am stirring up my faith. And I am convinced that the year 2021 will be the greatest year of my life. I'm convinced it will be the greatest year of Living Way. And if I can get you to say amen, and not a woman, but amen, if I can get you to say that, it will be the greatest year of your life. God will do things for you that you've been praying about for years. God will bring your dreams to pass that you've held for decades. This is our greatest opportunity. There is a Goliath, but God has called you out of the obscurity of the sheepfold and ordained you and anointed you to kill your Goliath and make you a superstar of faith. I know it's a famine, but God has given you the power to say, not who will bring him down. The word of faith is in my mouth, and I say it's going to rain like it's never rained before. God is getting ready to take you from obscurity and make you an Elijah. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. I am calling in my markers. I've lived for God for a while now, and I'm calling in my markers. I am calling for my storehouses to be filled and my vats to overflow. I am commanding that the barrel will cease not and that the oil fail not. This is my greatest opportunity. This is my greatest day. I will labor no more in obscurity, but God has called us to the center stage to say God is true and every man is a liar. This is the day where we will have a harvest of souls, where we will cast out devils, where we will heal those that are sick. This is our finest hour, ladies and gentlemen. And every day, Sister Tanya, I'm stirring up my faith. My faith, I'm stirred up. It's bigger, it's better, it's badder. Praise God, my faith is off the charts. We ain't seen nothing yet compared to what God is going to do. So get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You're going to have friends get saved and family get saved. Money's coming from you, coming to you in places you don't even know about. The favor of God rests on you, but only if you stir up your faith and fear not. 70 times, he said, be not afraid. And ladies and gentlemen, my faith has now literally quenched my fear. God is greater. God is greater. God is greater. And somebody in this house today that is facing a giant, in 5 minutes from now, before you walk out that door, Goliath can be laying at your feet, and you can become a faith hero, and all of heaven can applaud you if you'll stir up your faith. Would you stand on your feet, lift both hands, and give God your greatest praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shikoroma halalakasata laboye. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. 2020 was the worst year of many of my friends' lives, and they would tell you that. And some of them are not even here to tell you that. But if I set aside them and their pain, 2020 was the best year of my life. You have to realize that the day Goliath died was the best year of David's life. You have to realize that the ending of the famine and it began to rain was the best year of Elijah's life. And God has called some of you to make 2021 your Goliath-killing year, your famine-breaking year. God has called you, and the devil would love for you to cower in fear. But 70 times God said, be not afraid. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. If you're in this audience today and you are afraid of the pandemic, if you've got loved ones that are sick, if you've got financial lack, if you've got any kind of a giant in your life, I challenge you to stir up your faith, to take that first step out into that aisle and walk down this aisle and say, God, this is the day. And this is the day that sets forth the pattern of my year, that I will kill the giants and I will cause the famine to break and the rain to begin, and the rain symbolizes blessing without end. This is the moment that it's going to happen. This is my trigger. There's got to be a trigger to your faith. And so this Sunday, in the first part of January of 2021, can be your trigger. Pull your trigger by walking down this aisle and putting your hands up and say, I refuse to be afraid in the darkness of this day. I am confessing that God is on my side. Instead of becoming a statistic of failure, I am going to become a champion of faith. These are my Goliath-killing days. In the name of Jesus, I call it done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Beck is singing. I'm waiting for some.